This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey there, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Welcome to ENN on this Monday, December 6th. If it's all right with everyone here, I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Versus the Chargers.
Oh, no. That could go bad. I'd also like
Holy crap.
Yeah. I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I wasn't going to say it.
Why
well,
not?
Now it's said.
And if it's all right, I'd like to say good evening to myself. Now you're just a meat taunter. A lot has happened.
Andrew's had to do a lot. He's been a father, tremendous producer, talk show host.
Yeah.
He will never work as hard as he will work putting together Drop Madness this March. Ever.
You think it's going to be the greatest challenge of his young career?
And it will be the greatest March Madness or Drop Madness we've ever had.
Yeah. It's going to be something special.
Might be good enough to actually have Michael be on board.
I wouldn't go that far. Well, Don, I wanted to say something. You know what? Let me just start ENM before I don't want to go down a random path today. It doesn't feel like – you know what you call that, Don? Reading the room.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down a random path complaining about a TV thing I have to do this week. It feels like I should save that, let it come up organically. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something that we can all agree to be happy about. Yesterday's Jets game was awful. Simply awful. Yeah. Second half in particular, just a nightmare. First half was fun. And there were some good moments. In fact, very early on when this happened and our own Chris Carlin made the call for ESPN Radio.
The Jets go for it here, and firing in the back of the end zone is Zach Wilson to hit Elijah Moore for the Jets' touchdown. They want hurry up on the offense. It is a three-yard touchdown strike from Wilson, and that was right in the breadbasket of Elijah Moore.
What I love about that is not only does Chris Carlin, you know, complete the boyhood dream of calling an NFL game, not only does he get to call a Jets touchdown, but in his first NFL call, he got to talk about food as well. You know what I'm saying?
His favorite thing.
Bread basket.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love something delicious out of the bread basket?
But what, carb.
Congrats to Chris, though. Sounds awesome. I actually, he probably has the full recording, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think I'm going to ask him for a copy. I want to sit and luxuriate in it and enjoy
really?
It.
Really? Well, what a phony. You're going to spend 3 hours listening to Chris Carlin call a Jet game that you know the outcome.
I'm sure the commercials will all be cut out.
Yeah, the commercials will be cut, and I'll be walking around. I'll go grocery shopping.
Right.
I like to hear my friends' dreams fulfilled.
Really?
Depending on what the dream is.
Did you listen to me call the Yankee Met game nationally on 9/11? No, you didn't.
Yeah, hold on. You know, wow.
Wow.
Don, do you want to weigh in here?
I'm sure Peter made every effort and probably did listen.
I did, and I told Michael, I texted him during the game, you're a piece of garbage. Take the rest of the day. You only got 53 minutes left. Me and Don can do it.
No, you can't.
Oh, my God. Even every time you come at me, you're filled with the wrong information.
We were all so proud of you, Michael, and all made an effort to at least listen to some of that game.
Right. I heard the end. I listened to the last two innings. In fact, I was leaving dinner, and if you knew the fight I had to go through to stream that thing online, oh, my God, my phone almost exploded. It was so hard.
Yeah, I had it on in the kitchen on the Alexa.
You know, speaking of yesterday's football action, that's great. Let's hear from Bryce Hall of the Jets, asked if the team had prepared for Gardner Minshew.
Did you guys prepare for Minshew?
No, we didn't. We were preparing for Jalen.
Gardner Minshew, by the way, looks like the identical twin of David Arquette, Courtney Cox's ex-husband.
I see something there. But can I be honest here, guys? I feel like the freak out over that answer was kind of us, our sports media brethren and sisters doing what we do, making a lot out of nothing.
I don't agree with you.
I don't agree with you either.
Yeah, I think they specifically did not prepare for Minshew. Of course they didn't. He wasn't the starter they were facing. Doesn't mean they didn't run through any scenarios.
But there was a doubt that Hurts was going to play. There was a legitimate doubt.
Yeah.
How could you not prepare for the backup? The scheme's the same. One guy runs, one guy doesn't.
And then Saleh, and I understand what he's doing. He's defending his player, talking about it's not specific to a player, but you scheme. So what's Hall trying to do there? Why are you going out of your way to answer? No, we were. He's saying they're ill prepared.
I would agree with Peter though. I don't think Hall was doing it to be malicious. I just think he answered a question.
Yeah, he didn't volunteer the information. I just think when he thought about it, he was like, no, we didn't prepare. We were preparing for Jalen. But does that mean that he doesn't? Maybe he didn't realize they actually did do preparation for someone who was not Jalen Hurts.
I think he was telling the truth. They prepared for a scheme, but every time that Saul explained it, it still doesn't explain the fact they wanted to stop Jalen Hurts from running. He's their leading rusher. That's what they wanted to stop. All of a sudden, that wasn't a threat. You can't tell me that the time they spent putting in trying to stop Jalen Hurts from running could not have been served differently if they knew Gardner Minshew was going to play. But if it's the same scheme, Gardner Minshew is not a threat to run.
But they've schemed so many times this season for quarterbacks who aren't a threat to run.
Well, I mean, they just might be bad.
That's what I think is ultimately the truth. Now, Andrew, how much satisfaction did you get out of not only the win, but if you've seen on social media, Minshew greeting his father, Minshew seeing the fan wearing his jersey? I mean, he's almost like a character being portrayed by Danny McBride. Like, he's a lot. Are you enjoying all of this?
It's easy to see how a fan base can fall in love with him fast. Like, I didn't totally get it when he was in Jacksonville and it was Minshew Mania. But then when he's on your team, like, that game ended yesterday and there were a lot of Eagles fans there. He did a lap, you know, kind of around one end of the stadium to high-five everybody. And somebody had a Minshew banner and he's, like, punching the banner and high-fiving the banner. Then his dad afterwards, he shows up to his press conference in like a bomber jacket and aviators. Like he's just different and he's fun. And so when that guy is playing for your team and playing well, it's kind of easy to get sucked into that fun with him. And so, yeah, I mean, already I drove home from the game yesterday and I put on the Eagles postgame show and the first three callers right out of the gate were bench Hurts. This is the quarterback now. It was so predictable, but they fall in love fast when a guy plays like that.
I was about to say though, With Hurts's track record and Minshew's track record, you guys run the perfect risk for an immediate quarterback controversy.
Well, Hurts's terrible game happened at an awful time. Like, he hasn't had a game as bad as the one that he just had against the Giants. And then he's hurt, so he can't make up for that. And the Eagles happen to be playing a bad team in the Jets, where the backup can come in and look really good. And now they have a bye, so they have kind of 2 weeks to just let that simmer. So the Eagles come back and play you guys next, Washington.
But you know what? Sirianni handled it much better than Robert Saleh did. He said, no, Jalen Hurts is our starter when he gets back.
Yeah, he put an end to it right there.
Completely stopped it right there, rather than what the Jets did, which was continue to throw kerosene on the fire.
I have another piece of audio here. Let's finish this conversation off about Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall expounding on preparing exclusively on not preparing for Minshew.
What that means for us is, like, we kind of saw them as similar. I mean, obviously we don't know each week who we didn't get the information who was up or who was down and things like that. But in terms of the preparation, had it we known ahead of time, I don't think it really honestly would have changed much at all. And so we had prepared for what they were going to do. And I think, you know, in terms of running the football and all the stuff that they did, it really didn't change whether it was Minshew and Jalen. They did pretty much the same things that we were expecting them to do.
So you're saying that's a cleanup on aisle nine attempt.
Right.
But what it is, it's getting around to what Saleh said. You know, he's a player that is just, he's practicing the scheme. and probably doesn't even like put two and two together who the quarterback is. Like in practice, there'll be somebody that will play the role of Jalen Hurts. But that person, that player, or maybe it's Josh Johnson, whoever that plays that role, is going to play both roles. So to the defender, they don't see another quarterback come in and not an announcement, all right, here is the Minshew offense. So it's probably just him not really understanding the difference, but knowing enough to go out there and do the job he was supposed to do. So it's probably, Saleh's probably right, just a miscommunication and not a big deal. But off that soundbite, I'm thinking, you know, it sounds like he's passing the buck. Hey, it wasn't our fault. We weren't prepared for Minshew. But after that answer, it sounds like Saleh was right. Just need a little bit more info, that's all.
Let's go to another post-game presser of a New York football team. Joe Judge on the offense's struggles.
You talked about the things you're encouraged by on offense. Ultimately, though, 9 points and 250 yards. So people are going to look at that and say, like, how can you be encouraged when the results just weren't there?
I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays, and that's what we got to do. We got to get the ball in our players' hands, let them make plays, let them extend plays and be explosive players. And that's our focus as a team. So that's what we're looking to do. We're going to play to the players, play their strengths. So a lot of things today that really got the players involved. There are a lot of third and longs that we converted with a lot of players making big plays. Thought Freddie did a good job calling things aggressively and pushing it down the field. Thought Mike really had the right mindset and how he wanted to play that thing. And there was opportunities for catch and runs. We got the thing out and did that. But then also, you know, pushing down the field. So Kenny makes some big catches. Evan makes some big catches. You know, these are some things that turn around. And you've got to make these plays and be able to make these plays in critical situations and in tough games. We knew it was going to be a lot of tight contested catch today. It's a very well-coached defense. They play very aggressive, very tight on you. So through the week, we talked a lot to our players about you got to defend your leverage, come out of the breaks, and you got to make those tight catches. And I was pleased to see our guys come up with a number of those
today. Oh, stop.
It's too much.
Really. I mean, talk about putting slathering lipstick on a pig. Where are the big plays? They scored three field goals in a league where 30 points is done in an eye blink. Where are the big plays, Joe? Because you got a couple of third and longs? You didn't convert. Well, you never get in the end zone. I mean, he's going to lose his fan base if he keeps talking like that.
I think he's lost it, Michael. I'm not hearing too many Giant fans defending Joe Judge over the last few weeks. And the way that comes across to me is, listen, clowns, you don't know football the way I know football. You're looking at it like it's checkers. I'm looking at it like it's three-dimensional chess. You can't possibly understand what I see.
I'm Mr. Joe Football.
So he says that, so and he's right. He's looking at football way different than I look at it. So you can't really argue because, hey, he's looking at it way more educated than we are. But at the end of the day, it's about points. The idea is to not out-style, out-scheme the opponent. It's not about how many plays or how many first downs you get. Ultimately, it's do you outscore your opponent? So you have to score points. And since you fired your offensive coordinator, Joe, the team has scored 22 points in two games combined with one touchdown. So you're seeing a lot of things I can't see, but ultimately we're still staring at the same 9 points, the same 22 points. And you're a drop pass away from being 0-2 in those games.
And when do they start to realize, get Saquon Barkley the ball in open space. Get him the ball a lot. He had 5 yards a carry, 11 carries. Why are you only giving it to him 11 times? You weren't that far behind that you had to resort to passing. And you're passing with a guy who came into the game with a 6-22 lifetime record as a starting quarterback. What are you doing? Just get the ball in Barkley's hand. He's a number two pick. He's a guy who's going to wear a gold jacket one day. What are you doing? He has to have more than 11 carries.
Well, that's the question is, how good is Saquon? We know how good he is in space. We've seen moments. The New Orleans game jumps to mind. But is he really what they thought they were getting? I know injuries have been a problem. Offensive line's been a problem. But we've seen every game the kid's played, Michael. Is he Barry Sanders? Is he, you know, any of the players that we thought that they were going to get? Is he Kareem Hunt? Is he anybody that makes people miss, that can get huge plays on a consistent basis, like a legitimate offensive threat that he's supposed to be? Have we seen it enough to believe that it's actually there? Good kid. Tremendous kid. I want him to be great. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's an intelligent kid, nice guy. But forget about all the excuses. Are you seeing what they thought they were going to get with the second overall pick in the draft? Is he anything like the player he was at Penn State?
And no, and you wonder whether is that a him thing or has this team just been that bad since he's been here? And he could excel elsewhere.
There's a lot of combinations, but
I mean, either way, it's not a win right now. They're not good, and he's not great.
Peter, you can come up with excuses for why he has struggled. You can come up with excuses why the team has struggled, but it just hasn't changed. It's not there. And according to a lot of people, including Steve Young, these yards are supposed to be easy. They're supposed to be available to you. And I'm seeing teams that aren't supposed to be as good offensively score points.
You know what? Can we do something? I want to do something positive here.
I love it.
In this moment. Top Rank Boxing is returning to Madison Square Garden Saturday, December 11th. That's this Saturday to you and me.
The Mecca.
That's right. Lomachenko up against Richard Comey in the rematch, okay? It is going down. If you want to see not only Vasily Lomachenko, but also a heavyweight match, the undefeated Jared the Real Big Baby Anderson in action, right now, call us the fifth caller, 888-987-ESPN, 888-987-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets to be at the Garden to see Lomachenko and Comey, all brought to you by Top Rank Boxing. Tickets on sale now. Visit MSG.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Peter, do you have the story about the poop in Philly?
Excuse me?
That's a poop story?
Yeah, there's a poop story.
No, please.
I'm so jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
There are a couple of flyers working out on the ice at whatever.
Oh,
yes,
I did see this. But go ahead.
And I guess there were some police officers with dogs in the stands. So the players were like joking with the dogs. They enjoyed the, you know, playing around with the dogs, and they had the dogs come out onto the ice, and one of the dogs proceeded to, right in the middle on the Flyer logo, poop on the ice.
That's after firing their coach. Think about it.
Yeah. And then Andrew went to Philly, drove there before the show, and ate the poop.
Is that that's
and you didn't have to worry about it going bad. It was on the ice.
Yeah. Excuse me. Andrew doesn't eat dog poop. He eats horse poop.
We know he eats horse poop. We don't know that he doesn't eat dog poop.
Andrew, comment.
Just horse.
The nether region might be the best region of all this year. Pooped right on the Flyer logo. Did you see that, Andrew?
I did, yeah.
Did it offend you?
Sadly typical of what's going on with that team right now.
They might as well have pooped on Ron Hextall's grave.
Did you see the LeBron James story? You got LeBron James there?
What's that?
Well, he got fined by the league for his beast mode thing.
And did you see that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar ripped him?
But very intelligently and respectfully. Hey,
he said the goats don't have to do that.
Right. And he's right. So he didn't rip him. He just said, listen, you're LeBron James. What are you doing?
So do me a favor, Don. Pretend I don't know what LeBron James did.
It's like you oversized cubes and you're trying to
Sam Cassell trying to carry the oversized cubes.
Right.
And he ran down the court like that, like Sam Cassell used to do.
Oh, he did it on the floor.
Yeah.
Like in mid-game, he pretended like he was carrying oversized cubes.
Against the Pistons.
Horse.
Okay. And he did it to show off, you're saying.
Right, like he's got big onions.
Right.
And he got hit with a $15,000 fine. And then Abdul-Jabbar was, like, very intelligent about it. It's like, you're the GOAT.
What are you doing?
But what was the exact quote? Was like
the GOAT doesn't do that.
No, it was the GOAT don't.
The GOAT don't gloat.
Yeah, that's what
I made that up, but there was something
to that effect. It was, you have it there, guys, it was perfect. So it wasn't like he was mocking LeBron or really even calling him out, just saying, dude, you're the GOAT. The GOAT doesn't have to do that against the Pistons in December. Come on, man.
Well, things have not come easy for LeBron James this year. And by the way, when you get ripped by Kareem, it's never going to be good. He's an awesome writer.
How often is LeBron James on a team where he's nowhere near the, you know, looked upon as the greatest in franchise history? Like, he's overall better player than Kareem, but Kareem's got way more cred in L.A. than LeBron does.
And Magic does.
And Magic.
And Jerry West.
Yeah, so when one of those greats talk about you, people are going to pay attention.
Yep.
Speaking of horse poop, Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit died after a workout. This is a Baffert trained horse, 3-year-old colt, had just completed a workout at Santa Anita, and he collapsed. Baffert said the horse suffered a heart attack.
Hmm.
Santa Anita's veterinary team took blood samples. They sent it in. Everyone reportedly devastated, but more controversy to this sport. It's
and that trainer.
Yeah.
And Baffert. Yeah. It's let's be real. This whole sport's a joke.
Well, that's the horse that won the Kentucky Derby, and then it was kind of taken. It was taken away
mm-hmm.
because of suspicion. So, awful for the horse.
And then the horse dies.
Right.
Quite a life. Tyron Woodley will be fighting Jake Paul after Tommy Fury has withdrawn from the fight on December 18th. So if you listen really closely, you can hear the sound of the entire boxing world snoring.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
We already saw that fight, and it was boring. But there's rumors there about why Fury pulled out from the fight. His father alleged that Jake Paul was unwilling to take a drug test, so Tommy Fury pulled out. Either way, now on December 18th, you're going to get Jake Paul against Tyron Woodley. Don has already told me he's spending the money on the fight no matter who it is.
And you'll watch it, right?
If I'm home, I would bootleg it. I'm sorry. Should I not admit that?
Of course
you shouldn't admit it.
You should say that.
Sorry. I want to take that back.
Animal.
It's obviously joking.
Yeah.
But I would not pay. No, I would not pay money for that fight. I couldn't do it. Also,
you know, Tyson Fury's dad's name is Phil.
It's Phil Fury?
Phil Fury. Phil Fury.
And congratulations are in order to NYCFC.
Yeah!
Heading to the MLS Championship against Portland. Andrew, tell us something good about NYCFC and this dramatic victory they had yesterday over your Philadelphia Schmushmahers.
Yeah, Union. It was dramatic. They went down a goal, and to their credit, in a hostile environment, they could have kind of shriveled up at that point, but they responded within, I think, 90 seconds. They came right back and scored to tie it up, and then they scored again later on, obviously, to win it. And I know, you know, obviously a lot was made leading up to this game about Philadelphia because they were missing more than half of their starting 11 because of COVID protocol. Like if that had happened in another sport, in football or game 7 of a Yankees ALCS or something, I mean, I can't even imagine how big of a deal that would have been. There were some people who wanted the game to be postponed, but ultimately that was never going to happen.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was, and it's key players. I mean, it. Yeah,
but here's what
it's
I don't
not
understand.
A technical,
maybe, like maybe you have the answer to this. I read that the coach said these guys are all vaccinated mm-hmm. and they didn't have COVID, but they had to be kept out because of proximity. I mean, it doesn't make sense. They didn't even test positive, so why wouldn't they postpone it a day or two until they get their arms around it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not trying to take anything away from NYCFC. They were missing a few of their best players too. One of their players had been red carded. Their best player had been red carded in the previous game, so he was suspended. They've had a couple serious injuries. So it was a great success story for them as well. But I mean, the story was the situation that Philadelphia was dealing with coming into this. And yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like it was ever going to be taken seriously, the idea that game was going to be postponed, that they were always going to play it. And MLS has had incredibly strict rules throughout when it comes to dealing with COVID and COVID protocol. And it's unfortunate that it just kind of, like, at the worst possible time, it bit them.
So, Yes is going to have special shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right after our show at 7 o'clock on the NYCFC. We're going to have Ian Joy, who's called the games on the Yes Network on Thursday, to talk more about the championship game on Saturday, which you could see on ABC at 3 o'clock. So, Portland against NYCFC. Yeah. So, a nice sports story in New York City.
Absolutely.
Are the Timbers the favorite?
Yes. Although NYCFC are one of the hottest teams in the league. I think they went unbeaten in their last seven of the regular season. Then, obviously, they're at this point now. So, we had Taylor Twellman, who's ESPN's lead soccer analyst. He'll be on the call. He was on our podcast the other night, and he said, talking with managers and players from around the league, NYCFC was the team that he kept hearing them say that nobody wanted to play coming into the postseason. So they're hot. Portland will be really tough and they'll be favored, but it should be pretty even.
I need an NYCFC jersey.
Every time Michael shows any interest in anyone, he just deserves a jersey to show up in his house.
Yeah, I guess the Devils are just like knitting the jersey or a sweater.
Oh, and now he complains when he doesn't get them fast enough. Wow, you
they're
are
so filled. Nice enough to get it to us probably before the holiday.
It's not here though. I mean, now they're losing.
Don said probably before the holiday. By the way, and also what congratulations holiday? Are in order
President's
to,
Day?
To the Jeters. Congratulations to Derek and Hannah Jeter on the birth of their third child. Baby girl, River Rose Jeter, was born last Thursday.
Nice, that is a nice name.
River Rose. And also, last Yankee mention here, yesterday was Brian Cashman's, one of his favorite days of the year, when he scales the tallest building in Stamford as part of their Christmas celebration. Michael, were you out there?
I was not there. Stanford on Saturday, though, but I didn't go there.
Yeah,
yesterday. I was watching my 8 hours of football.
It's funny how Cash, when we talk to him, is such an even Steven, laid-back guy.
But
he's
a daredevil.
He loves rappelling down buildings and sleeping in the cold.
Because I was talking to Bobby Valentine, who did it like many years ago. He said, and he, you know, the whole idea is to go down the side of the building. He said, so I'm like hugging the building and, you know, you connect it to ropes and everything. Said, but Brian kicks out and like rappels.
Yeah, he's a Looney Tune.
He also went up to the CN Tower in Toronto and put on the harness and like lean back. He doesn't seem like he has any fear for this stuff.
That'll do it for ENN on this Monday, December 6th.
It's a good ENN.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really good. All right, we've got a lot to do. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Then we'll talk to one of the voices of the NFL, Chris Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the Carlin segment. That's at about 645, 647. So stay tuned for that. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.